I'm sure oftentimes you have heard the preacher say, especially at a gospel mission, if he's talking about the new birth, about being born again, people talk about the great George Whitefield and how he preached on John chapter 3 and verse 3 and verse 7. It was said that on one occasion he preached at a mission and he preached night after night after night on the same text, "Ye must be born again." And someone asked him, "Mr. Whitfield, why do you continually preach night by night on the same text, 'Ye must be born again'?" He said, "It's very simple, because ye must be born again." And born again has become a very popular term in many different walks of life. I remember I used to listen to an independent Baptist preacher in the United States of America. He preached to many, many thousands of people. And he used to joke and he used to say, when it came round about election time, if people were running to be mayor of the city in which his church was, they ended up coming to his church. And many of them said, "Well, I'm born again." And one fellow says, "Well, if he's born again, I'm born again too." And they came because such a big church and such a vast congregation, maybe they thought, "Well, we get some votes from this church if we come." There's a man who was the editor of a very infamous pornographic magazine. He claimed to be born again. But you know, in spite of all those things, it's a wonderful, glowing, and glorious term and terminology. Many are looking in business for quick and simple and easy and startling sentences to push their product. But you know, Christianity has beat them all with the great message, "Ye must be born again." It was said of the great John Wesley, founder of Methodism, that he preached 3,782 times on John chapter 3 and verse 3. And because men and women need to be born again. I often think, because I preached for many, many years in the open air at the City Hall in Belfast, and I often think about the story of this poor old down and out, this poor man who had reached rock bottom, and he came and he was very shabbily dressed, and he came and he started to listen to the gospel preacher in the open air. And at that same meeting, there was a man there who was a communist. And he shouted up at the preacher, "What can you do for him?" He says, "Communism can put a new suit on that man's back." And the preacher says, "Communism may be able to put a new suit on his back, but," he says, "Christianity can put a new man in the suit, because he can be born again. We were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. By natural birth we are sinners, lost without God, without Christ, without hope in this world. But why, we can be born again, born from above, born of God the Holy Spirit, as the old hymn writer says, into God's family divine. We can be justified fully and freely through Calvary's love. And we can say, oh, what a standing is mine." You see, in our society, oftentimes people say, "Well, if you could get that person new clothes, if you could get that person a new home, if you could get that person a better job, if you could get that person a better house, If you could get that person better conditions in which to live, if there was this, if there was that, if there was the other thing, then all will be well. But you can have all the education, all the new clothes, all the new houses, all the new jobs, all the new possessions that this world can offer. And until you're born again, you're still lost and undone and unsaved and on that broad road that leads to a lost eternity. The great Dr. Richard DeHaan, for many, many years, wrote the little books, Daily Bread. He wrote a little booklet and he called it Flying Worms. Flying Worms. And in that he explained the metamorphosis of the caterpillar. The caterpillar would go into its cocoon and then it would emerge transformed into a beautiful butterfly. And he would say, no one can explain exactly what happens. That little caterpillar spinning the cocoon and then comes out transformed as a thing of beauty. He says, so it is with the new birth. It's something oftentimes that it's very, very hard to explain. But thank God, it may be hard for you to explain it as a Christian. But thank God you've experienced it as a Christian. And as the wee Scottish woman spoke about salvation, she says it's better felt than it is telt. And it's a wonderful thing, the new birth. But I just want to think with you for a moment or two tonight on some very simple thoughts regarding the new birth. Now, I want you to notice in verse 3 as the Lord Jesus Christ is talking to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus came to the Lord Jesus Christ by night. He said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Nicodemus was coming inquiring. He was seeking. He was searching. And on this first occasion when we read about him coming to the Lord Jesus Christ by night, the Lord Jesus explains to him and speaks to him about the new birth. And thank God, subsequently, as we read on through the Gospels, we see how Nicodemus came to that point in his experience when he was born again by the Spirit of God. But I want you to notice that when the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to him, he says in verse 3, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then in verse 7, Jesus says, Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And I want you to notice tonight when we speak about the new birth, when we speak about the subject of regeneration, about being born again, that the new birth is an individual experience. Jesus says, I say unto thee. He says, ye must be born again. Many years ago, some dear friends of mine from up in Gardenstown in the northeast of Scotland. Dear man was in a nursing home. He was in a double room. His wife was in one bed and he was in the other. They were very aged, but they had served the Lord all their days. They loved the Lord. This dear gentleman, he loved male voice choir singing. He used to say, Fred, I think it's the singing of heaven. He loved the male voice choirs. And every time you met him, he was a retired fisherman. He was always singing hymns, especially hymns about the sea. And Harry loved them. Well, his dear wife passed away. I happened to be in Scotland at the time. And we went up to see him there in the nursing home. And he says to me, "Fred, you're looking at a man who has just lost his wife." And then, you know, he says, "I don't know if the Lord knows what he's doing." He says, "I don't even care if the Lord knows what he's doing." He says, "Because we wanted to go together." And I said to this dear old saint of God, I says, "Well, George, you know, you didn't come into the world together. And the Bible says there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. And both those times are in God's hands. And God has a plan. And God has a purpose. And God has called your dear wife home to himself." And then he says, "Fred, you're right. You're right. We're individuals. We're individuals." And you know, he came to Christ as an individual. His dear wife came to the Savior as an individual. Every man or woman or young person in our meeting tonight, saved by the grace of God, we came as an individual to Christ. I thank God I was born into a Christian home. But that didn't save me. If you turn back there to the first chapter of the Gospel of John, and those very familiar words in verse 12, it says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Now watch these words. "Which were born not of blood." Not of blood. When it's speaking about the new birth and salvation and receiving Christ, it says here, it's not because of our parents. It's not because of our lineage. We do not, because we may be born into a Christian home, automatically go to heaven. We are not born, it's not of the blood, and even speaking about the blood, it's not of the races of this world, not just of the Jew or of the Gentile, not of one race above another race, or one color above another color. No, we are born not of blood, and then it says, "nor of the will of the flesh." Nor the will of the flesh. That's not our desire or our hope or our own longing. The will of the flesh. "Nor of the will of man." That's not man's design, you know. Man may say, "Well, you know, if you are baptized, you become immediately an inheritor of the kingdom of God." Man may say you're baptized as a little infant or immersed as an adult, and you cannot be saved unless you are baptized. But the Bible says we receive Christ and we're born not of blood, not of the races, not of the will of the flesh, not just of our own desire, nor the will of man, the ceremonies that man can perform, or man's designs, because we quoted that verse the other night, repeated twice in the book of Proverbs, "There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, and the end thereof are the ways of death." Not by man's designs, or man's philosophy, or man's worldview, or man's ideas. But John says here, "but of God." We're singing that wee hymn, "Everybody Wants to Go to Heaven." Some will try to go by riches. People say, "I'm a philanthropist. I have given much to the church. I have given much to this, to that, or to the other thing. Therefore, I deserve to go to heaven." Some may try to go by riches. Some by deeds to their fellow man. Some are depending upon their good works. But the apostle says, salvation is by grace and it's through faith. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Some may try to go by water, by baptism. Some may try to go by land, by pilgrimage. Some may try by their good living. But the way it's plainly given, if you want to go to heaven, you have to go by Calvary. Buddhism says sin can be wiped out with our good deeds. Muhammad says God is good. He will not be hard on you. But the Bible says we are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We're trampling down that broad road that leads to hell and to destruction. And the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die and after death the judgment. And if we stand before God on the judgment day, before a holy God, still in our sins, we're lost. Men have had visions. One man said he witnessed the face of Jesus in a vision. Another said he saw the face of Jesus. He was a religious leader. He saw the face of Jesus even in the moon and the planet. Therefore, they claimed to be born again. But it doesn't work like that. The Bible says, except a man be born again. And as Jesus explained to Nicodemus, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. And the Bible speaks about the washing of the water of the Word of God. The Bible says, how can they believe on Him of whom they have not heard? And so we have to hear the message of the Gospel. We have to hear the message of Christ. And when we hear the message of Christ, we have to believe on Him and put our faith and trust in Him. And when we come as a sinner to Jesus, we come in repentance and in faith in Christ through the Word of God. We take God at His Word. We believe His Word that God hath provided a way of salvation. It's not by the blood. It's not by the races of men. By our parentage, by our lineage, it's not by any priest or preacher or pastor or bishop or pope or any desire or design of the will of man or ceremony or ritual, or it's not by any perception that men may have or philosophy that men may have. It's by the Spirit of God, by coming, hearing the Word of God and putting our trust. But it comes to men and women. We must come individually. We're not saved by proxy. I cannot accept Christ on your behalf. You cannot accept Christ on my behalf. That's why we say tonight the new birth is an individual experience. But I want to tell you, it's also an instantaneous experience. An old American preacher, and he wrote in one of his sermons, he said that when he was a young boy, and he must have lived in the time when electricity was being put into all the homes, and he says he was fascinated by this light switch, and he says every night as a young boy he tried to switch the light off and jump into bed before it got dark. And I'm sure he never achieved it. It was so quick. But you know, when a man or woman comes to Christ, you think of Paul. He's going down the road to Damascus. He's a blasphemer. He's a persecutor. And he's going down there to catch the Christians and to bring them bound back to Jerusalem, to put them into prison. And the Lord Jesus Christ appears to him on the last day of his journey. And that religious zealot, that religious persecutor and blasphemer who thought he was doing Almighty God a favor by putting the Christians behind bars. That blasphemer one moment is going down with the threat to persecute. And when the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to him and calls him by his name and says, Saul, Saul, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Saul says, Lord, who art thou? He says, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And in a moment, in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, the Apostle Paul was born again. You think of Peter, when he stepped out on the waves to walk to Christ. And the Lord bid him to come, and he began to walk on the water. And as he walked, and the wind was boisterous, and the waves were there, and he took his eyes off Jesus, and he began to sink. What did he do? He prayed a very simple prayer. He says, Lord, save me. And immediately, the Lord upheld him. In the city of Glasgow, there's a church that's called the Harper Memorial. It's a Baptist church. It's named after a Baptist preacher, Pastor Harper. He was on the Titanic. He gave his place on the lifeboat to others. He called out to men and women, even in the icy waters, to put their faith and trust in Christ and be saved for time and for eternity. And a man who was on that ship fell from the deck. He had heard this great man of God, Harper, tell men and women to be saved. He fell from the deck of the Titanic, and he said before he hit the icy waters, he was saved. He had called upon the name of the Lord, and he lived to tell the story. He survived. And he went round the meetings, and they advertised the meetings, Harper's Last Convert. See, in an instant, in a moment, sometimes people argue about someone being saved on their deathbed. Very foolish to leave it until you're on your deathbed, because we do not know the circumstances, the time, the place, how or where we will die, or whether we will even have our faculties about us that would enable us to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. But having said that, like that dying thief who looked to Christ and said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Thank God, in an instant, he was saved. He was born again. Over there in the book of Colossians, it's a lovely verse in Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 13. It says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. One moment we are sinners. The next moment, we are saved. We become a child of God, as God would translate us out of this kingdom of darkness and the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. So when we think about the new birth, about being born again, we can say it's an individual experience. It's an instantaneous experience. But let me say tonight, it's an indispensable experience. You see, Jesus said, Except a man be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He said, ye must be born again. It is imperative that men and women are born again. If we're not born again, we may be like Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a very, very, very religious man. He was a very, very upright man. The Bible says here, Jesus says, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? He was a ruler of the Jews. And yet this man with his riches and his wealth and his religion, he recognized something more. I need something more. And Jesus says, you cannot enter into the kingdom except you're born again. You must be born again. And verse 8 reminds us that just as the wind bloweth where it listeth, and we hear the sound thereof and can't tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. Beloved, we're in a gospel meeting. We're gathered together here in God's name. And God's Spirit moves from seat to seat, from heart to heart. And maybe the Lord's speaking to you, unknown to the person beside you. Just as the wind bloweth where it listeth, and we hear the sound, we can't tell whence it comes or whither it goes. So, unseen to men, Spirit of God moves in the human heart. And then can I just say, we cannot get into heaven without the new birth. We can't go to glory without being saved. We must receive the Lord Jesus Christ. As many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, to be born into God's family. Can I just say, in closing, the new birth is an initial experience. That's just the start. That's just a man or woman, unsaved. They may be completely ungodly and godless, but they put their trust in Christ and they're saved. They may be religious. They may be a man or woman of great honesty and integrity and seeming goodness to all around and all these things and many virtues. But the moment we put our trust in Christ, that's an initial experience. And it's the start of a new life. For Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation in Christ. The old things all pass away and all things become new. We used to sing a wee chorus in the children's meetings. Do you know that you've been born again? Do you know that you've been born again? Have you started on this road? The old proverb said that a journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. And that journey that takes men and women from the darkness and the deadness and the domain and the doom of sin and brings them into faith in Christ and salvation and peace with God and sins forgiven and whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, and leads us on. And day by day we come those who die more and more unto self and live more and more unto God, until one day we're found in his presence in the glory. But it starts when we're born again. Friend, tonight, have you the experience of the new birth? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior? If not, please don't go away. Just come and speak to us, even perhaps while others are having a cup of tea. And tell us of your need and let us show you from God's word in the minister's room, in the prayer room, wherever, privately, how you can be saved and know it and be sure that your sins are forgiven. May God